Hi, I'm Sky Guthrie, and you're listening to the Need to Know podcast.
We've got Robert Crane.
In 3, 2, 1.
He's a Microsoft MVP, a Microsoft
certified trainer,
an Office 365
specialist, blogger, podcaster, social media enthusiast, and one-of-a-kind speaker who has a gift for explaining tech to the average person so they can understand it.
Hi, I'm Donna Sarkar, and you're listening to the Need to Know podcast.
There's also myself, Mark Keane. All right, let's move on. I'm the voiceover guy, producer of this podcast, blogger, speaker,
Microsoft
Azure MVP, and an Azure/PowerShell Premier field engineer working for
Microsoft,
helping people with a journey and making sense of Microsoft Azure.
You
are listening to the
Need to Know podcast.
It's your source for the very latest in Microsoft Cloud news, as well as industry guest deep dive conversations all about Azure and Office 365.
Hi, I'm Sonia Cuff, and you're listening to the Need to Know podcast.
Welcome back to another Need to Know podcast. And again, I'm joined by the man whose name that starts with M and ends in N, Mark Keane. Welcome.
Hello, Mr. Robot Crane.
Not quite as polished. You had all that time to prepare, and then you couldn't do it on demand. But how are you? Are you over your affliction and taken all your NyQuil and cold medicine?
Yes, a little bit. I'm still blowing a nose. Episode 158. Episode 158 this is, and brought to you by Rode Microphones and Zencaster. I had to get that out there.
Excellent. Well, you'll be pleased to know that your fan club that I ran into this week, very concerned that you were under the weather and were wishing you all the best for your rapid recovery.
Okay, good. Did they also comment how I had such a great deep radio voice at the same time?
No, not at all.
Because that's what happens when you get a cold. It might sound a bit flat, but you can actually do some really good things with it and make shitloads of money out of it.
No, I think they're more complaining about your desire to blow your nose on the podcast to prove a point, which I told them that was a special effect rather than you doing it live.
Well, very, very well done, Rob. Thinking on your feet like that very quickly, that's very well done. I'm impressed.
Excellent. All right. Well, I promised them also that I'd get your signature and pass it on to them. So I will bring some material for you to sign next time, and maybe you can write a special PowerShell and we can send it through to them via email. But what's been happening in your week?
So hang on. Where did you go? Because you're saying a big fan base. Where did you go? So you've basically opened the can of worms. So now you got to finish it and talk about it. So where'd you go?
What happened? So I've been down in Melbourne doing some Office 365 presentations to customers and also to partners. Some of that was done in regional Victoria and in the Melbourne CBD, which all went down really well and
lots of
good information.
What was covered?
So we tried to cover as much as you could about the Office 365, but focused on the collaboration side of things, especially Microsoft Teams, the Skype for Business connectivity, but also some of the higher end, I suppose, specialized tools that make Microsoft Office 365 stand out, like Power BI and things like Flow as well. So they're very impressed with that. And it shows the depth of the product, and they're keen to implement much of that inside their own business.
Is it like every other presentation you've been to where you talk about Teams and everyone just says, oh, that's what I want. I want that right now.
So the general gist is when you show Teams to customers, they get it straight away because it removes a lot of the technology complications.
Mm-hmm.
On the other side is when you show it to partners, they generally struggle to understand it because they probably are looking at it too much on the technical side. You know, oh, where does SharePoint bit fit in? And hang on, where's the chat saved? And so again, rather than looking at it as a business solution, they tend to look at it as a technical solution. And it generally takes them a little bit longer to come to grips with it. But when they start using it, I think that's the key, that they begin to see the benefits and understand how it could work potentially in their business and also for their customers.
Yeah, right. So, which part of Teams do they like the best? Is it the collaboration or is it the fact that it brings so many different features into the one area?
Well, I think the major thing is that it simplifies an interface to Office 365. So, Teams allows you to have a chat, which will remove the email. So, you can do that public and it becomes searchable. It also gives you an interface onto a SharePoint site. It also allows you to add a wiki and Power BI and so on, connectivity to OneNote. And from a user's point of view, it just removes that complexity. So rather than having to go into each individual service silo within Office 365, the user can basically just do everything through a single interface. And they can do that on their desktop, in the web, but also on a mobile device. And I think that's a real winner for customers because, again, it just simplifies what is becoming a very, very large product and services in Office 365.
Nice work, Rob. Nice work. I'm very impressed.
Well,
sounds like you did a really good job, and I heard some great things as well. And what was the customer take up? What was their reception like? What was the were they very, very eager and very tuned in and very focused on what was being presented?
Some of them have Office 365. Some of them are looking to move that way from on-prem. So it basically will move a lot of them into the modern age of collaboration, moving away from just sharing things via drive mappings and attachments and using the ability to share documents. So the big change for a lot of them, like I said, is moving into a world of working in public. So, you know, social media and things like that within Office 365 that gives you the ability to search, and also the move to things like SharePoint, which moves away from traditional file shares and map drives and all those sort of things.
You know, this morning, Rob, I was listening to or watching on YouTube, you know, Brad Anderson at Microsoft?
Certainly. I've already watched his latest lunchtime. Yep.
Yeah, episode. One of my colleagues. I just thought I'd throw that in there. Yes. So, Brad Anderson doing the Brad Anderson's lunch break. So, it's like a takeoff of what's his name again?
Jerry Corden. Seinfeld, isn't it? No.
Well, that and James Corden, the carpool karaoke guy. But anyway, driving around in the car, all hooked up with the cameras, and he had Don Jones in there, the PowerShell guy. And basically, they were talking about something similar where Don Jones was saying that back in the day, like before the cloud, it used to be like every 3-year cycle. A lot of companies had servers and had the versions of software installed on those servers, and nothing was changing. It was like pretty much boring. It was like business as usual, game on.
Come on, day-to-day. Basically come in, make sure the server's working, then yeah.
Yeah, that was basically it, and like a few software updates every now and then. But now it's completely different, where it's just completely ever-changing, and you just like, you don't have to worry about those anymore and move them to the cloud. And everything's like, you just got to keep up to date. Everything's fast paced. Everything's keeps evolving and moving forward. But yeah, it's pretty much the same thing, right? Where it's just completely different to what it was before.
Can I just ask for a bit of a clarification there?
Yes.
Don Jones?
Yes.
Where was he from?
Don Jones. Don't you know John Jones?
Just give us the idea there.
He's the PowerShell guru MVP.
Yes, but what's his day-to-day job?
He works with Pluralsight.
Correct. He's a director, and I believe he also set up Pluralsight as well. So that's what he's best known for, I believe, is the setting up the Pluralsight, which is highly recommended. Yeah, I believe so. He was the one that founded it, as far as I can remember. So anyway, we can clarify that. But he's currently the director of technology there, I think. So, but yeah, the Brad Anderson stuff's really good to watch. There was the episode with Mary Jo Foley, Paul Thurrott, Jeffrey Snover, who we had on this very podcast. Did you like the bit where he talked about how he's advancing his career, the trick that he's used to advance his career?
I forget. What did you say was that again?
The trick to advancing your career at Microsoft is to wear a red shirt.
Yes. And when I saw that, I was thinking, like, I've got a red shirt in the cupboard. I might, when summer comes around, when it stops being so cold, I might wear a red shirt to Microsoft myself and see how far I get.
I'm surprised you don't have a cupboard of them already.
Well, yeah, maybe I should, eh? And then have a photo of me, and it'll be a good way to publicise myself and get the word out there. But so
what have you been doing with yourself?
Me, locked in a home office. I've been working from home. Well,
so Microsoft has got sick of you already, have they? And they've locked you at home.
Well, no. See, Microsoft is not a place to go to work. It's basically a place to work. They're a big believer in activity-based working. And so, and obviously, like, they're all set up for it. So, Skype for Business and Teams and everything else. And so, you don't really need to be in the office, really. I mean, you don't really no one has a desk. It's all shared desks anyway. You just
sit. Is that really the case, or is that just what they tell you so you won't come into the office?
No, it's seriously the case. And not only that, the monitors are a bit, how's your father, a bit the monitors I got at home, the 4K monitors I got at home, are much, much better with PowerShell and things like that. When I go to the office, I go in there just...
So, is the coffee better at Microsoft or at Mark's Place?
Well, the coffee's free. It's okay. It's not... It plays a song when you hit the button and pause the coffee. It plays some sort of music in the background. I can't complain. It's good coffee, and it's much, much better than most places. But the coffee at Mark's Place is also pretty good as well.
All right, ladies and gentlemen.
But there's no people at Mark's Place. That's the problem.
Well, don't forget
that. And at Microsoft.
Yeah, go on.
The people at Microsoft, I must say, let's just say there's lots of eye candy.
Oh, I see. We're digging yourself a sexual harassment suit here. Right, okay, no problems. We probably need to avoid that. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to complain about Mark's comments there, remember his Twitter handle is at Mark Keen with a C. And
hey,
also,
how do you know I wasn't talking about eye candy, all the devices they've got there, like the Surface Hub, the 100-inch Surface Hub. And the
unless
the
you've changed the spelling display. Of your name to be Mark with a K, you're the same Mark with a C, and things just don't change.
Okay, this podcast is going way too off the focus. Let's get back onto focus. But yes, I've been working from home quite a bit over the last week, only because I'm ramping up for a couple of customer engagement. So, there's a couple of customers that I'm working on, one next week for the full week and one shortly afterwards. So, basically, these customers are close to enterprise, I'd say between SMB and enterprise level, and they want to move all their kit and caboodle to Azure, pretty much everything, right? And so, they've come to us and said, can you help us sort of work with it? And so, there's a couple of ways you can do it. Is you can either run a map tool, which is the Microsoft Assessment Planning Toolkit, which basically uses WMI to scan the network and get back basic information about installed apps and things like that. Or you can get the customer, if they want to install the OMS agent and install Service Map, which is a solution. And that's all free as well because it comes part of the free plan. And the good thing there is it gets a whole bunch of information, so much more information than what the map tool gets. And it gives you all the discovery about every single server, Windows and Linux, every single Windows service, and also network traffic coming into that service and network traffic going out. So the IP addresses is going to, and then IP addresses connecting to those servers, and also what port number it's all communicating on and things like that. And there's a bit of other information in there as well. So this week is basically the preparation for it. The customers are busy. They're doing their preparation by installing the OMS agent, getting all that sort of worked out and pushed out with SCCM. And I'm basically doing my preparation by getting my PowerShell script rejigged because you can use a REST API to connect to the OMS service map endpoint to grab all the data out of it. If you're familiar with service map in OMS, they've had a major upgrade just recently. We announced in the last Need to Know podcast about the machine groups, and there is a portal that you can view your mapping, but you can also grab the data out using the REST API. And it is sort of fairly new at the moment. And let's just say it's not exactly easy because there's not much information out there on the web that instructs you how to do it. But if you're familiar with using PowerShell and connecting to REST APIs and things like that, well, then that part is, I'd say, 50% of it. And then the next 50% is trying to work out behind the scenes of the service map. It is literally a little bit of a learning curve. But that's basically the nature of the beast, isn't it, when you're in a job like this?
So I think what we need to do is we forgot to let the ladies and gentlemen know what the drinking word for this episode is. The drinking word. So every time Mark goes off on a diatribe about something, we need to have picked a drinking game. So every time Mark mentions the selected word, everybody gets to take a slug of their favourite beverage. So, my vote for this episode will be OMS. I think that's probably leading the charge. Would you agree?
Okay, from now on, it'll be Operations Management Suite.
Excellent. All right, so why don't we do some news? Do you want me to go first?
If you like, or I can go first.
All right, why don't I be gracious enough and let you to go first? What can we talk about, Mark?
All right, good news, positive news. Gartner, has recognized Microsoft as a leader. So Gartner has recognized Microsoft as a leader in their cloud infrastructure as a service, IaaS, for the fourth consecutive year. More than 90% of the Fortune 500 companies use Microsoft Cloud Services today. And a recent study stated that Microsoft Azure is the most used public cloud, as well as most likely to be renewed or purchased. So we'll put a link to that in the show notes if you want to read some more on that.
It's so good that even Amazon uses it, isn't it?
Possibly. Do they use...
Yeah, because they bought Whole Foods. Remember, we talked about that in a previous episode.
Of course.
And they're now one of Microsoft's biggest Azure customers. Roll on, interesting times. But anyway, continue on.
Okay, preview of Azure Service Health. So, announcing the preview of Azure Service Health, your new personalized service health dashboard in the Azure portal. It provides guidance and support when issues in Azure services affect you. Shows any ongoing issues in Azure services that are impacting your resources. Quickly understand when the issue began and what services and regions are impacted. Get the most recent update to understand what Azure is doing and how to resolve the issue. Plan maintenance and health advisories view, where you'll find information about up maintenance and recommended actions to prevent downtime, and also past events as well. So there you go. Azure's putting their money where their mouth is, basically, and putting it all out there. They're not holding any cards to their chest. More info of that in the show notes, Rob. Maybe
excellent.
I've got quite a bit of other Azure news here. It's been fairly busy in the last week. But before I get to the rest of it, if you want to continue on with or start with your news items, but also too, we've had quite a large conference happening very, very recently in the States in Washington, D.C., Rob.
Correct. So Microsoft is still in the throes of completing its partner event called Microsoft Inspire, held at Washington, D.C. Basically, this is the conference for the worldwide partners, which that is what it used to be called, where all the partners come together and Microsoft basically gives them the roadmap, shows how it's working with partners now and into the future. And obviously, it does do some announcements, which are typically partner-focused. But I suppose the first bit of news, which is a little bit negative, I think, perhaps, is that Microsoft is planning to lay off around 3,000 people. It does this generally towards the end of its financial, or beginning of its new financial year, which is about now. A lot of these layoffs are coming in the sales area, so not so much the technical side. And I think, again, it just indicates that Microsoft refocusing on its major topics here and making sure that it remains as lean as it can. Still not an exact idea. So there's people leaving from finance, corporate, external, legal affairs, all that sort of stuff. So my understanding is there's not much impact on the technical side of things. But if we knew a Microsoft insider who may be able to give us some more information, do we know anybody who qualifies there, Mark?
Well, I can't give too many things away. However, you can fairly much join the dots. There was another announcement a couple of months ago where Microsoft was out on the lookout to employ 150 or so new recruits for Microsoft in Sydney, in Australia, part of their inside sales division, telemarketing, which that's all public news. And so, basically, with that is they're using new... they're not just cold calling people. They're making more... what's the word I'm looking for? More...
the information
they get targeted. That's it. More targeted calls based on the information they've got on customers. And so, they're using the technology that they've got at the moment, like...
So, they're stalking customers, is that correct?
Machine learning and all that sort of jazz, all the data, they're using all the data that they've got. Well, you could probably call it stalking. I mean, look, I'm not a big fan of cold calling people. And then you get a call from somebody and then most of the time I just hang up. But apparently, from talking to some of the people in the lunchroom and things, apparently they're saying that they're telling stories where they call people and say, oh, I'm such and such from Microsoft. And all of a sudden, they get the conversation going and they're talking about all this other bunch of stuff. And half an hour later, it's the end of the call because they mentioned they're from Microsoft.
I thought the only people that called from Microsoft were offering to help with viruses on my computer, and they had an Indian accent.
Well, you'd hope that the people there they've employed would not have so much of an accent to make sure that. I mean, I'm not sort of bagging out Indians at all. I mean, they're great people. It's just they've gotten a bad name from basically what you've mentioned.
So Mark's looking to alienate more audiences that listen to the Need to Know podcast. So if you would like your audience to be alienated, remember at Mark Keane on Twitter.
Well, you know what I mean. I mean, you get calls from people from overseas.
We know what you mean. And, just giving you a hard time.
And you get the first thing you do is hang up.
My advice to you is
there's an old saying, they've made their bed, they can sleep in it.
My advice to you is to move on. Next topic, please.
Right. And so, yeah, so if you read between the lines, 150 people, new people have been employed, part of this new inside sales division. And then basically, there's a whole bunch of other people that have been laid off in the sales area. So they're rejigging their sales to, in other words, I think, make it better for them. Rather than doing old school sales, they're doing new school sales, if that makes sense, without going into too much detail.
All right. Next news topic from Inspire.
Azure Stack is now ready for order. So HPE, Dell, EMC, and Lenovo. Azure Stack enables hybrid application deployment and provides consistent platform for connecting from Azure data centers to the edge, according to Microsoft. Additional hardware providers or partners are coming soon as well. And those hardware providers coming soon are Cisco or in Huawei, which is the
Huawei.
Huawei. How do you say it?
Huawei.
Okay, all right.
We've got a lot of things to work on for next time, haven't we, Mark, before we go live again? But, yep, keep going.
Somebody actually pulled me up on that the other day. But anyway, so say it again. Huawei. Right. It starts with an H.
That's right, but you don't pronounce it. It's silent.
Well, how did I know that?
You're a whiz. You know everything.
Right. Okay. Pricing will be based-
You use Bing Translator, don't you?
Pricing will be based on consumption and will- cure to the customer's Azure subscription. So, yeah. So, basically, also to growth for Microsoft, a report said that Azure revenue rose 93% during its fiscal third quarter ending in March 31. So, yeah, available now to order is Azure Stack is the announcement. Microsoft 365. Do you know anything about that?
Yep. Microsoft announced a new combination of packages to roll together into a product called Microsoft 365. Basically, what it includes is Office 365, Windows 10, and Enterprise Mobility and Security. It's aimed at the SMB market. So the Office 365 SKU initially is the business premium. You'll get a Windows 10 Enterprise as a subscription and the Enterprise Mobility and Security that comes from Azure. So obviously that we face a world in which we have lots of security threats coming from viruses and malware. The best way to avoid those generally is to make sure that you're up to date, but also to have advanced tools that come from Azure. Now, bundling these all together makes a lot of sense, also makes it a great opportunity for partners to upsell services around these additional items. So there is a Microsoft 365 Enterprise and a Microsoft 365 Business. At the moment, my understanding is they are available in the US, UK, and Canada. They'll be coming out those locations on the 1st of August, so not far. Then they should see the rest of them roll out to us here. So, again, we'll put a link in the show notes so you can have a look at the details of what the plans include. But I would say that it basically includes the best of Office 365, the best of Windows 10, and the best of the EMS suite for both enterprises and SMB. And it's, again, an indication of the move towards products from Microsoft incorporating both Office 365 and Azure together for businesses. So the best solutions for many businesses, obviously, is a combination of those two, because they do cover different aspects and are generally required by all businesses, large and small. And again, that's one of the reasons that we look at doing our podcast to cover both sides, because I think Azure will scale more and more into all aspects of business, even in the SMB space, with some of these fantastic products like the mobility and security. So that will make Mark a very happy man and allow him to deploy more PowerShell.
Fantastic. Hey, I'm just looking on the wall, Rob. Did you get your MVP certificate this week?
I do have a box that I need to open and have a look what comes inside, but it has come from the US of A, from a place called Seattle, so I'd assume that is the item to which you refer.
Yeah, mine came today. I stuck a couple of nails on the wall and hung them up for the final, because the first one I had, I just stuck it sort of on the bookshelf somewhere, but I've actually hung it up and just looking at them now. They look quite nice.
Congratulations. That means Mark is a certified MVP for another year.
Yeah, I think it's because of this podcast is basically really, really, really helping with this MVP business, don't you think?
Yeah, it could be, and you could have done your dash with this episode with all the people that you've offended. So we'll just hopefully they'll forget it by the time you're up for renewal in 12 months. So
quickly change the subject.
Let's do some
tracking configuration changes for your Azure VM. So currently this is in private preview. Right within your Azure VM, you can quickly assess details of changes that occurred across your system. So we currently support tracking software, files, registry, Windows services, and Linux daemons. So from your Azure VM, you can select track changes under automation and control. So it's stealing a little bit from OMS, or Operations Management Suite. You can view the changes that have occurred on your VM. The main set of graphs displays the configuration changes by time and change type. The interactive table shows the changes that occurred during the specified time range. By clicking on the table rows, you can see the details of each change. So more details of that in the show notes. Rob, I'm going to pass this over to you, because I've got a whole bunch of stuff to announce or to talk about. And I know you've got more news items there on your side, and I can't steal all of the show's thunder.
Excellent. All right. So some of the other things that we've come from Ignite is that they also announced some additional options that are coming again just to the Business Premium product in Office 365. So it's actually adding three additional services. So we already have basically the bookings application that is unique to Business Premium, but we will also soon see something called Microsoft Connections, which is a simple email marketing service.
Connections.
We'll see Microsoft
Connections.
Listings.
Hang on, that's part of Service Map. There's Connections and, Connections is part of Microsoft Service Map.
So it's now part of Office 365 Business Premium shortly. It also includes a thing called Microsoft Listings that allowed you to publish your business information on websites, and also Microsoft Invoicing. So again, maybe a competitor, something like FreshBooks. And it also includes a new, well, not a new app. Microsoft bought a company called MileIQ. Have you heard about MileIQ, Mark?
Really? They bought another company?
Yeah, well, that's what you do when you make billions of dollars in cash. So MileIQ basically is
a mileage tracking app. Automatic, easy, smart mileage log. Okay, so basically, like, you use it for your car when you're driving from one place to another, yeah? Ditch your mileage tracker forms and let us handle your business miles for taxes.
Correct.
Okay.
I don't believe that it currently works in Australia, unfortunately. We'll have to wait and see. I'll have to update my app to see whether it does.
Well, that's because it's called MileIQ. It should be called Kilometer IQ instead.
Yes, potentially, but renaming can be very costly. So that's why you've kept the C in your name.
We don't exist down here in this little country. No one.
So you're really doing your best to make sure you never become an MVP again, aren't you?
We don't exist. We're just like this country down this lucky country that. It's such a great country to live in, but no one really sort of realizes that we really, really are here. It's just kangaroos.
So I think we need to do a quick snap poll of the listeners to see whether they like Mark when he has a cold, or Mark when he doesn't have a cold and he's currently been drinking lots of scotch and bourbon, by the sound of it.
Vodka.
Vodka. Okay, there we go. So Microsoft's rolling all of those into the business premium. We'd like to see some of those in the some of the other Office 365 SKUs. But if you are a customer lucky enough to have business premium, you'll get this new Office. Obviously, the Microsoft 365 component will soon be available, and also getting all these new apps as well. So it shows Microsoft's focus on the business premium SKU for SMBs particularly. So it's, I suppose, giving that SKU a lot more love and a lot more unique features, which will make it a greater incentive for businesses to jump onto. Now, part of the other Azure announcements that Microsoft brought in Ignite is that they're also
going to Inspire.
So they are also going to look at doing the Azure co-sell. So this is a program that will provide incentives to Microsoft people, partners to basically co-sell Azure. So my understanding is it will be, again, something that's based on consumption rather than just basically pure sales of dollars. So I'll have to wait to see what the exact announcements are. But basically, the Office 365 remuneration has been around a similar consumption-based model, and I think it seems that Azure is now including that for partners, which is a great incentive to get partners to go out there and sell more Azure, and that will make our co-host a very happy boy, I would assume, because more Azure out there means that more people will be able to listen to the podcast to pick up all his discussions here.
That's right. So what else have we got, Mark? Because the amount of time we save people by researching articles and reading online, that time saved, they can be using that time to earn more money, which means they can pay for their bandwidth to listen to the podcast.
And luckily, most people listen to us at double the speed, so they can get us over and done with in much quicker.
Okay, and just to help with that double the speed thing, I'm going to read this next news article like really, really slowly. So when you listen to it double the speed, it'll really stand out nicely. Certificate changes to give you additional insurance of the authenticity of Azure services.
Most, you can't do slow, can you?
Most Azure services get their SSL/TLS certificates from a known set of intermediate certificate authorities, or CAs for short, that Microsoft operates. The current intermediate CAs used by Azure are due to expire in May 2018. It's big news. It is actually big news. You should be paying attention. Microsoft published a new set of CAs.
Too slow. I've forgotten what you started talking about. You better go back and start again.
Certificate changes we're talking about.
Right. Okay.
Which is SSL. It's all big, big, big for security. Right. So right. Microsoft published a new set of CAs last year in July 2016. CAs is like a, you know, a certificate authority server. You know, come on. Mm-hmm. They're updating your servers. So we expect that the majority of Azure customers will not be impacted, especially in your world in SMB. However, in enterprise, possibly, if you're using certificate or static certificate pinning, where you have an application, browser, or service that calls one or more Azure services, and your application explicitly verifies who issued the TLS certificate for those Azure services, you could have a problem. Also,
what's certificate pinning?
Well, I just read it out, where you have an application, browser, or service.
I know you read it out, but what does it mean?
It basically pins the certificate, right, to who issued it. So, it means that generally when you're doing the certificate authentication, you can, as long as you trust that certificate's all good, it doesn't matter where it came from. But certificate pinning means it basically it locks it down to it's only that Azure is or a such like a certain certificate authority server who issued that certificate issued it, and that's pinning that certificate to that certificate authority server. Do you get it?
So for that part of our broadcast, our drinking word was issued. So hopefully you're not too drunk by now. Keep going.
If you the other way you'd be affected is if you have any firewall rules that allow outbound calls only to specific CRL downloads. So CRL is Rob. Certificate revocation list, or any OCSP verification location. So basically, in other words, if your firewall rules are stopping the certificate to check its validity, to check if it's still valid, well, then you've got problems because if it's only allowing access to certain URLs, if your security is that tight, well, you're going to have to like change your security. So, yeah, there we go. Certificate changes for Azure is out now. And so for full details for the certificates or for Microsoft's Certificate Authority Service, it's all found in Microsoft's Certificate Practice Statement, or CPS for short, and more info to that in the show notes in my blog.
Excellent.
Now, if you are a person like most people who are complaining that, you know what, Azure's just growing so fast. It's too quick and you just can't keep up. It's just every time you wake up, there's something new. It's like, you know what? Why bother? Can't keep up. It's just too hard. Right now, we're excited to announce the new Azure Roadmap experience on the new Azure public site. It's now live. And so basically the new Azure Roadmap comes with Azure feedback to enable you to influence the Azure roadmap yourself. So rather than getting frustrated, you can basically steer Azure in the right direction that suits you. How cool is that? Your own custom version of public Azure, if you leave enough feedback. The roadmap is also integrated with Azure updates as well, so that customers can see how we are delivering against our plans. So there we go. Details of that in my blog and in the show notes.
Excellent. All right. Well, a couple of more Office 365 bits here. So Microsoft has announced a new service called Workplace Analytics, which is basically seems to be a roll-up of their, what do they call it now, My Analytics, which used to be Delve Analytics. So as you interact with Office 365, the Office graph in the background watches and collects statistics on who you talk to, how many emails you send, who you send them to, and it reports those in your individual portal. That My Analytics is typically available as a additional add-on to existing licenses and incorporated into the E5 SKU. Microsoft seems to be aggregating all of that to something called Workplace Analytics, which basically would roll up everybody's My Analytics into a single portal for Workplace Analytics and allow an organization to view these in an anonymized way, so you can get an idea of, on average, how much time your employees are spending in meetings, how many emails they're sending.
Hey, Rob.
That sort of thing.
Sorry to break it to you, but we had that deployed internally like a month ago.
Yeah, I realize that, but we haven't spoken about it on the blog, and Microsoft haven't released it to the rest of us, and I thought it'd be a good idea to let people know that it's now available. Now that you've chimed in and you're an expert on licensing, how do we buy Workplace Analytics?
I don't know. I'm a technical person.
So, therefore, in that case, let me finish what I'm saying, and then when we're ready, we'll come back to you, right? Okay. So, this basically allows you to roll up those, add on all those statistics. But the thing that puzzles me, and we'll put the link in the show notes, there isn't really a clear way that to purchase this. It basically says to contact Microsoft to do that. So one would assume that you probably need the E5 or the My Analytics in place anyway, and then you could add Workplace Analytics on top of it. No ideas of price or implementation. So a bit of a new product. Mark's using it, so obviously you can speak to him about any details, including pricing and how it's launched. Licensed. So he'll be able to assist you there with
that. Well, it's not costing me any money at all, so there we go. I'm not saying
but you need to help people to find out how much it costs, because if you can't find it, you must know somebody through your Workplace Analytics who's able to do the licensing for them.
Yeah, okay. I can just send a message out to somebody.
Excellent. All right. We also have got a new web viewing experience in Word and PowerPoint Online. Office 365 viewing of these documents has changed slightly. Go in and click on a document, an Office document. You'll see that new UI, which is, a slight change. I think it's an improvement. So have a look at that, see what you think. Now, the last one I've got here, and have you heard of a service called calendar.help, Mark?
No.
So, basically, we talked about in a previous podcast how Microsoft basically was retiring FindTime. So, FindTime is a great app that Microsoft had.
You serious?
Sorry?
You can't be – surely you can't be serious.
Absolutely. So, if you go and try and sign up for findtime.microsoft.com today and you don't already have an account, they will tell you that you are unable to register and they will announce what's going on down the track. If you currently have a FindTime login and you are using it, you can continue to use it. But obviously there are some changes happening in that application. So again, unfortunately, new users can't sign up to findtime.microsoft.com. Great little scheduling application that would allow you to say, look, I'm available between these times. Can you please go
and clunky.
Put out a poll, basically? Yeah, so it works really well. But it would seem that to me that Microsoft is going to replace this with something called calendar.help. So if you go to the website calendar.help, currently in preview, you can sign up for it. Need an Office 365
apparently,
account.
Apparently, it costs thousands of dollars for that domain name too.
So what it basically is, it uses Cortana Intelligence. So what happens is once you sign up, you give it access to your calendar. And then what you do is if you want to organize a meeting with somebody, you basically send them an email, but you CC calendar.help. And it will handle all the backwards and forwards and picking times by looking into your calendar and basically replying to the person you're trying to organize a meeting. Then when it finds a free time for you that suits the person you're contacting, it will automatically book that in the calendar, create a Skype meeting, and send out invites to everybody. So my gut feeling, it would seem to be that FindTime is moving towards being calendar.help, which will use Cortana Intelligence to look at free times in your calendar and basically communicate with the other parties. And what I would comment here is that it's even easier to use than findtime.help, because all you do basically is you CC calendar.help and it goes out and does all the hard work for you. It does the emails in the background, finding time, all that, and just tells you, yep, I found something, off we
pretty
go.
Cool.
So it is pretty cool. So go to calendar.help. You can sign up with your Office 365 or register your interest, and hopefully they'll get you on board and you can have a play with that.
Fantastic.
What else have you got for us?
Fantastic. I've got lots of stuff. And all right, what have we got? A couple of SQL news announcements, because SQL is, I don't know if about IT Pro, but it's covered here on the Need to Know podcast. Excuse, hang on for a second. I'm slowly getting over this this cold, which is taking forever. Robert, have you had a cold this winter?
This episode is also brought to you by Strepsils, available now in your local chemist.
Thanks, Rob.
No problem.
Because I need extra Strepsils. Okay. Azure SQL data...
More vodka.
yes. Azure SQL data sync refresh. So, happy to announce Azure SQL data refresh, or Azure SQL data sync refresh is out. So, with this, you'll be able to easily synchronize data bi-directionally among multiple Azure SQL databases and or on-premise SQL databases. So, between Azure SQL or on-prem. The release also includes major improvements to the service, including the new Azure portal, PowerShell, and REST API support. More information on that in the show notes. And on the subject of SQL as well, the public preview of compatibility level 140 for SQL, or sorry, for Azure SQL databases in Azure. This alignment of the compatibility level 140 for Azure SQL aligns itself to SQL Server 2017. More info of that in my blog and in the show notes. Also, Azure Managed Applications, Rob. This is a fairly big one that came out just the other week. Basically, what it is, it enables managed service providers, MSPs, and independent software vendors, ISVs, and corporate central IT teams to deliver turnkey solutions through the Azure Marketplace or Service Catalog. The vendors will manage and support these applications. It enables customers to automatically acquire application updates without having to worry about troubleshooting and diagnosing issues with the application. Azure Managed Applications comes in two flavors. One is called Service Catalog Managed Applications, and the other is called Azure Marketplace Managed Applications. So, Service Catalog allows organizations to create a catalog of approved solutions for Azure, which is helpful specifically for central IT teams in enterprises. It enables companies to ensure compliance with certain organizational standards or policies and procedures. And then there's Marketplace Applications. They're available in the Marketplace on the Azure portal. Once published by the vendor, these managed applications are available for everyone inside your inside or outside your organization to consume. So a link to that in my blog and in the show notes as well.
Rob. Excellent. Well, hang on a sec. Yes. I'm going to give you an opportunity here. Would you like to offend more European countries as you have done before on the podcast?
Depends on what you're talking about, what European countries. You go on.
So Microsoft has announced that PSTN calling is now available for Ireland and the Netherlands as it was in Germany. Do you have any comment on that, Mark?
No.
Just checking, because last time you had a major comment and we caused an international incident, which resulted in us getting banned from the German state. So we just want to make sure.
Really? And then we caused another incident after that, which resulted in us getting banned from the Great China Firewall.
Yeah, but again, that was always going to be the case. I think that's a set standard these days, thanks to the firewall. But we thank goodness for VPN technology included.
Exactly, in offered to free, the Need to Know VPN.
That's right, exactly.
.com, NeedToKnowVPN.com. Get it now. Install it on all your devices.
I hope you're going to mention my favorite new Azure announcement in your list
of
things here. Can we talk about that?
Exactly. The public preview of Azure AD Domain Services Admin UX in the new Azure portal. So, in other words, domain services in the new Azure portal. Is that what you wanted to know about?
Woohoo! Yippee! Yes, exactly.
Yeah, but don't get too excited. Basically, the announcement is a public preview of Azure AD Domain Services in the new Azure portal. Basically, that's it. You can now create new managed AD domains and perform administrative tasks like configuring secure LDAP using the Azure portal. Azure AD Domain Services provides managed domain services like domain join, group policy, LDAP, and Kerberos/NTLM authentication, all fully compatible with Windows Server Active Directory. Over 8,000 customers currently use Azure AD Domain Services. Now, Rob, please note, this public preview release supports only classic Azure virtual networks. We don't support resource manager-based virtual networks yet, but our team is working very, very hard making it happen, and we hope to preview it very, very soon.
Okay, so even though it's in the new portal, it still only works
Correct.
With the old portal.
Yeah, exactly. Damn. So the news article came out. They dangled the carrot in front of your face, and basically it's coming soon. So half the work's done.
Well, it's a step in the right direction.
Exactly, exactly. So you don't have to go that ugly light blue color. You can use a new portal. Okay, Azure Site Recovery now supports large disk sizes in Azure. So following the recent general availability and the recent announcement on the Need to Know podcast of large disk sizes in Azure, we are excited to announce that Azure Site Recovery now supports the disaster recovery and migration of on-premise virtual machines and physical servers with disk sizes of up to 4 terabytes. Basically replicate those to Azure, because previously before it was only a limitation. It was up to about 1 terabyte, wasn't it, Rob? Azure Site Recovery is available for both standard and premium storage and both managed and unmanaged disks. Depending on your application requirements, you can choose to replicate your virtual machines to either standard or premium storage with ASR. More details of that in the show notes and in my blog. And a couple of light-hearted ones to end on my side, is the fact that Azure is having what's called a Discovery Day happening very, very soon. If you're based in Sydney, it's coming up at the end of this month. The date is, let me just pull that up for you right now.
My understanding is those days are currently sold out.
Is it really?
It's a deep dive
discovery session to learn about the latest features released in the Azure platform. Witness the versatility of Azure firsthand via a range of demonstrations and see how you can implement Azure immediately as a new platform.
We'll certainly include the links, but I think we just need to preface that it may be fully booked, but doesn't mean that you can't get in, but we'll certainly allow people
What's
to do
date
that.
Today? We're recording this on the 13th. Okay, Brisbane's one's done. Okay, Sydney, July 18. Melbourne, July 25. And can I name the guy that's doing it? No, one of the guys that I work with, I know, who's running it. He's got some good topics. He's got some really good content too. He's going to be covering Azure Overview, security of Azure billing, identity, storage, networking, and compute, the core IaaS components.
So is the reason that you're not doing that?
Yeah, because I don't know.
So they knew, they obviously listened to the Need to Know podcast and know your opinions and your what you've spoken about already.
Well, there's lots of people that work at Microsoft, and I've only just started, so give it time, is all I can say. The subject of learning stuff, so Azure Discovery Day, the other nice little news announcement that came out, and this is free, by the way, and Rob, how much do you like free? How much?
Almost as much as I like free plus extra.
That actually contradicts itself. How much do you like free?
That's like what you were saying previously. So
okay, free Azure Plural Site courses. So yeah, they're available. There's a link in my blog and on the in the show notes. So basically, every single Azure. Well, I think I don't know if it's every single.
Every single one on Plural
Site. It's a lot of Azure. Quite a lot, because I had a look at the link before and had a look at the website. There's quite a few. Pretty much a lot of Azure courses, Plural Site ones, are available free. So some of them include getting started with Microsoft Azure Virtual Machines and implementing Microsoft Azure Networking, also Microsoft Hybrid Identity Overview. So there we go. And there's heaps more there as well. So there's a link to that in the show notes and on my blog. And Rob, we are running quite to time. It's 50 minutes we are running at the moment. So have you got anything more to add?
No, I think we can probably wrap it up for this episode. We thank everybody, obviously, for listening. We encourage them to give us some feedback. We can do that via the Twitter. So my Twitter is @DirectorCIA and Mark's is @MarkWithACKEAN. How else can they keep up to date with what's happening on the Need to Know podcast, Mark?
They can contact us on Twitter, which is
@N2K podcast.
Have we turned that on to allow messages from anybody or not?
Probably. And what about Facebook? They can use the same thing on Facebook,
which is N2K podcast.
Yep. That's right. Or correct.
They can send
and
us
traditional emails.
Email, snail, oh, not snail, yeah, email. I'm calling it snail mail, but it's quite quickly being overtaken by social media. But the email is feedback@needtoknow.cloud. And the website for pretty much all of these podcasts is podcasts.needtoknow.cloud.
Excellent. All right. Well, we once again thank Rode for their support of this podcast. We couldn't sound as good as we do, and Mark wouldn't be quite as focused as he is without Rode microphones. So I thank Rode especially for those devices to keep Mark quite happy on his audio rants. And anything else from you, Mark?
Nope. That's it.
All right. So thank you very much again for listening to this episode of the Need to Know podcast.
You have been listening to the Need to Know podcast from CIA Ops. For training on using technologies like SharePoint Online or Office 365, visit www.ciaopsacademy.com. By purchasing from the selection available, you'll be directly supporting this podcast. To provide feedback on this episode, visit www.ciaops.com/contact. This podcast is voiced and produced by me, Mark Keane.